Lord is upon me this morning. I want to obey God, and I trust that you'll feel like you've had something to eat from the service. I've lost some sleep over it, and the Lord dealt so definitely with me, so I want to share with you what the Lord has given to me. It says, freely you have received, freely give. Thank the Lord for His goodness. Turn with me to Proverbs, the 10th chapter, and the 21st verse. The 20th verse says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. This is my text. The lips of the righteous feed many. And over in the New Testament, you remember when Jesus was talking to the Apostle Peter, and in the 21st chapter of St. John, this is after the resurrection, and it says, in the 14th verse, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these fish, when he had supper already prepared, fish and upon the coals, and they ate. And then Jesus said, Simon, do you love me more than these fish? They said when Jesus after he was crucified, the disciples didn't seem to know what to do, and so Peter was such a bold fella, and he just spoke up and he said, I go fishing. I know what I can do. I can go back to my old occupation. And now, after Jesus is risen, and he meets with them and has supper ready when they were hungry, and then he said, Peter, do you love me more than these fish, he meant, and he saith, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. Now this is beginning to work on Simon's nerves. What's this all about anyway? He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he saith said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Jesus said to him, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee where thou wouldest not. In Acts 20 and 28, we have a familiar text, take heed, therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And then in 1 Peter the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse, it says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And then he said something in Revelation about maybe I've lost that. Anyway, here it is, Revelation 7 and the 13th verse, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And he said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in the temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor the heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I don't know much about Revelation, and I don't know what it would be to lay this duty down of endeavoring to feed others and just have the Lamb feed us and all of that. I really don't know what it's all about, but seem like they talk about something that's out of this world. Well, that seems like would be something different than what we're used to. Now the text today is the lips of the righteous feed many. To feed, the dictionary says, is to take food or give food. To supply with materials to be consumed. Something very interesting about feeding. When we have what's called fast day in our camp meetings, the thing that's usually announced that there will be some feeding taking place later on the day. And people certainly seem to look forward and be real anxious when that time comes. So you can just say what you will, but there's something very important about feeding. We have good food in our camp meetings. No matter how good you feed people, so many times they get right up from the table and go and spend their money, because people have more money now, and spend their money for junk food that they're so used to indulging in, and so many times people don't appreciate just real good food. The lips of the righteous feed many. How can you feed people with your lips? We're used to feeding people with our hands. But this is the text. Well, it says it's to supply with materials to be consumed. I had an experience some years ago. I don't know just how long. I was asked stay with the McIntosh children one time. How long ago has that been? When you went to California?
20 years ago.
About 20 years ago. And I was asked to stay with their children while the parents went to California. And I got there. They told me to cross the river, and I couldn't find the river. It was dry, and I didn't see any river. And I had a little trouble ever getting there, but finally I did. I was supposed to be there. It was it 2 weeks or 2 weeks? This wasn't that I was back home and the old ladies could call me and say, "Will you take me to the store? Will you go to the store for me? And bananas are on sale over here and I want two of them," one old lady would say, "and then over another store they have cabbage on special, and I'd like to have a little head of cabbage." That was routine lots of times at home, but now I'm supposed to be in this home, staying with these children. And I'll tell you, I got there, and I looked around, and there was 100 pounds of sugar in a sack, and groceries, everything that you would need, I settled down. I have me a family now, and talk about fun, if you call it that, or call it a picnic for 2 weeks, or whatever you might call it, I tell you, I had me a time. I fed those children, we just had such a good time. I never saw a boy work so hard. He plowed up those hills all around that house, and he just worked from early till late. I don't know if they had as good a time as I did, but I won't tell you, I had a good time feeding those children. There's plenty of material to be consumed. And of course, back then, you know, I went in for a dessert, something rich, but I had everything that I needed, and I took advantage of that, and then I didn't have to hurry up and run and go somewhere else to see about somebody else. I was just there. That was a wonderful experience. Thank God. I had a little experience in ever getting there, which was a little bit comical. When I was going on a trip, sometimes I wouldn't have money, but my father would see to it. He'd see about me having something to be sure that I didn't go off out on the road. Of course, if I borrowed it, I paid it back, just like I would have to a stranger. But this time, I decided I'd just go. I had credit cards, and I'd just make my trip on credit card. And I got off up there, and before I got to where they lived, I had a flat tire right in front of the filling station. And it was a different station than what my credit card was. And I asked them if they'd take my credit card. No, they wouldn't. So I had to pull the car out there in front of the station and change the tire right in front of the station because I didn't have cash to have it done. Well, that was, and one of the fellows from the station came out and helped me before I got through. But I could have finished it up by the Lord's help. So that was some experience. But then when I got there, and here's this matter of feeding these children, staying with them, I didn't know just how to be mother, at least I was there try and do the best I could, and God blessed us all, I'm sure, and I believe it'll be a memory for all of us as long as life lasts. But there's something interesting about feeding people. We used to laugh in our family, kind of little family joke about my cousin that had three little girls. And when they were babies, they said he wanted to be so sure that they had plenty to eat that he just about stuffed them. He'd just feed those babies and want to feed them some more. And we'd laugh about Gib stuffing the little babies. It don't do to stuff people. That won't do. But it's pretty interesting about feeding people. My lifestyle has so completely changed, and I'm trying to get used to it. And those good things that I indulged in and was happy to feed others. I've given up a lot of that. My poor mother took diabetes before she died, and she had made I wouldn't know how to express it, but pies and cobblers and galore. We were poor people, but we didn't go to bed hungry. And when she did her own canning and used saccharin till sometimes it would do and sometimes nearly gag you, but she did not want to take insulin. She didn't trust the Lord either, but she planned her own menus and knew she could control the diabetes with diet. But what I'm saying, it got to where she got so far away from making those desserts like we had when we were growing up that she could hardly make pie crust 50 before she died. She got so far away from it, and her lifestyle so completely changed. I still will cook for you if you're at my house and fix things up good. I know personally that I have to not indulge so much in those things, and I need your prayers. But God's been good to me. But I'm realizing that I guess I'm going to have to go back to be a little more careful about that one-half cup stuff, one-half cup meat, one-half cup vegetables, and small apple or small orange, and teaspoon of fat a day, and one bread exchange, and so on. I guess I'll have to go back to some more of that. Did all right when didn't have appetite. When I got my appetite back, then it was a different story. There's always something, though, interesting about feeding people. When I was growing up, we were poor people, and I would want to try out a recipe, and it would call maybe for three eggs, we had to save the eggs because we took them to the store and exchanged them for staples that the family had to have, you see. We never could use. We'd just have one egg cake. That went on and on. I never could use all the eggs I wanted. I realize now my poor mother was doing all she could to provide for us and to feed us. It was important. She did all of that to help us out. But back then we didn't think so much about it. And that built up something in me. It made a mark in my life about the cooking, and never could have all the recipe called for, and especially eggs. We lived 1 mile south of Monarch Springs, between the two roads that go out from the park and south from the campground. We'd take a bucket full of eggs, stew kettle full of eggs. I remember blue granite stew kettle. We'd have eggs in it. We were 5 girls. 2 of us always went together. In the heat of the day, one would have the gallon syrup bucket full of cream, and the other one of us the eggs, and we'd walk the mile to Monarch, and at that time the springs were pure, and there was one certain spring that we drank out of, that was the water was supposed to be safe. Now they're all polluted now, but this was childhood experience, and that's why I couldn't use all the eggs because we had to sell them to get the coffee that the folks used, and sugar, and a few things, salt, a few things like that. Then if we had a few, they'd test the cream, they'd pay us for that, pay us for the eggs. And if we had a few cents left over, we were allowed to get some candy. And we'd go and sit on the curb of that spring at Monarch Springs, and we could eat our candy. And there was an old rusty, I just feel shaky about it now to think of it, but an old rusty tin can there that everybody drank out of, and we'd get us a drink of water out of that and eat us some candy. And we had a few shade trees that we'd stop under to rest, and we'd go back home. That was routine. But this planted something in me about eggs, and I guess I sort of purposed in my heart, when I ever had a chance, I was going to use all the eggs I needed. And right now, if I'm going to fix up one of those big dinners, don't fence me in and not let me have plenty of eggs. I just want plenty. Used to go to the egg place and I buy jumbos because I like big eggs. Then I got to where it wasn't so much use in that. Now I don't use so many because I don't do all that baking. So they have them at the store on special, buy one dozen, get one free. Well, I got to where I get that kind instead of going out to the egg farm. I want plenty of eggs. That childhood experience did something, planted, marked me some way, it still has its effect on me. I'm talking about feeding people. Now that's naturally talking. This text says, the lips of the righteous feed many. I'm thinking now of using our lips to feed people. There are people that have been poisoned from food, maybe at a fancy restaurant, but the food was polluted and maybe just too old. I know a long time ago when I worked so hard at the camp meetings, we'd have people bring, when people can more, and some of them would bring their old canned goods, some of them too old and not fit for human consumption, and then they'd bring them to the camp meeting and expect them to feed people. And I have dumped out jar after jar of old canned goods that wasn't fit to feed anybody, and they wouldn't use it themselves, but they'd bring it to the Lord. Isn't that a shame when the Lord tells us about bringing that sheep for sacrifice and not the runt, not the one with that is all scrawny and scabby and such as that, but it was to be without blemish. You better be careful what you give the Lord. And obedience is better than sacrifice. I have, in time past, I've done my part of the work for camp meetings. I'm not doing it now. And right here I'm going to get away from this feeding business long enough to say, if somebody wants a job, is just wanting to work for the Lord, I tell you a little job that's really important. Last night, the folks came 150 miles to be here and go back home last night and be in the one service. And they sat toward the back, and I went back to speak to them. And they were having to dust off the seat that they sat on because it was that they sat down where they sat down because it wasn't fit to sit on. Now, if you want a job, somebody before the night service and the other night, the altar bench was so dusty it wasn't fit for anybody to kneel at. Some of the places had been sort of rubbed off. Last night it was better. Somebody must have noticed that. If you ought to do something for the Lord, if you would take the broom or some way and see about these seats being clean enough for somebody to sit on, that would be a real good job. Now, it wouldn't be like preaching, but it would still be working for the Lord. And you know there's a lot more to this than standing behind the pulpit. Feeding people, personal. And this is really important. How we feed people with our lips. Are we willing to even feed them if they come to us and ask us questions? Are we going to show respect to persons? Well, because you're so-and-so's son, maybe the Lord will let you get by with that. Are we willing to feed people personally with the same food that we give them from the pulpit? We're supposed to. If it's your mother, if it's your brother, if it's your daughter-in-law or whoever it is, you need to feed them the same thing. The lips of the righteous feed many. And sometimes the food is not just the tastiest, but what counts is it that it's full of vitamins, that it's worthwhile, that it's nutritious, that it will help you gain. Oh, God help us. Here a while back I found out about something I had known before. This lady that had been seeking the Lord, she had tried, that was 3 years before this, when folks prayed and they prayed with her and she sought the Lord, but she didn't get anywhere. And she went on 3 years before she put forth another effort. But she had had some strict training. The reason she didn't get anywhere before, she was living with a truck driver. And when he made his run up that way, then he came along and stayed there. I think this had gone on for 12 years. So that was why she didn't get anywhere. And when she was counting the cost even more, why, she went to this preacher woman. I'm talking about feeding people with lips. Do you get my thought? So she went to the preacher woman talked to her about giving up this man. The preacher woman said, "Oh, but he can still come to see you. He can help you." Of course, he helped in her support. I worked like a good fella around there, built the garage and the carport and whatever there was to do. He just took off his shirt and just worked out there like he had to, like he was a slave. So the preacher woman said, with her lips now, of course, with her lips, but she said, "Oh, but he can come. He can help you. He can do things for you." But the girl, or the woman, had had enough training that she knew better than that, and she didn't even take it. And then to top it off, they got a tale started that I told her that. God forbid. I tell you, if you're going to leave sin, you better leave it. You better pay a full price. And you better come God's way. When Sister Olive Bigley married up in her, late 50s, I guess, and after a while, she found out she had been deceived, the man, he had told her she'd asked him time after time had he been married. No, he hadn't, and she was still a very attractive woman at that age, and he knew he was getting a prize, and he married her, and one day, his mother, exposed the fact that he had been married two or three times before and had children. And she said, when she found it out, she says, "I'll never live with you another day." And she picked up right then and she left. I want to tell you, if you're going to do something like that, you better do it. She was unsaved now. Imagine that. And she went back the next day and got her clothes. And I'll tell you, she made a clean sweep of that. And you better not fool around. Preachers had better be careful what counsel they give people. Counsel that man could come back and help her. Love each other all they could. Be together all they could. Live saved. Oh, God help us. That was poison. That was giving somebody something poison to eat. But the lips of the righteous feed many. What kind of advice? She was going to be with, they at that time all had televisions. The preacher woman said, "Yes, they have, but you can't condemn them." When she knew enough, when she got saved, she got rid of both of them right at once. Had two televisions and got rid of them, in spite of what the preacher said. Preachers had better have something good to feed people. If it's to say, "Thou art the man," if they'll pay the price, it'll feed them. Better be careful how we use our lips. Better be careful what we advise people. Better be careful that we don't discourage someone that may be already down. And then just a few words maybe can throw them off track altogether. The lips of the righteous feed many. Now I've decided, I found this scripture just recently, and it was really a blessing to me. I thought one of my greatest pleasures have been to fix up a big dinner, invite people, and then if somebody extra comes, we'll always have plenty. I just took delight in that. But since lifestyle has changed, and I'm not to be involved and indulging in such as that so much. And then God gave me this scripture, the lips of the righteous. And I decided that then if I can feed people with my lips, well then, and give them good healthy food. They have pure food laws now, but still they get by with an awful lot. To have, the husband must first be partaker of the fruit. We better be careful. Some people, some preachers, I'd say, really can lay the law down, righteousness to the line, judgment, lay it down. But when it comes to their own folks, and someone real close to them, well, they'll back up, they'll crawfish some. God help us, folks. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and body and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That God's Word forbids showing respect to persons. But there's lots of it among us so many times. Somebody does something, and if you're not up there in that bracket where you're looked up to with such honor, they'll, figuratively speaking, just about grab you by the throat. But if you're way up yonder, well, then look like there's some backing off. I witnessed something at Monarch one time. There was a false teacher there, and he wanted to explain his doctrine. And we ministers were, I'd say, foolish enough. That was just to listen to him almost the whole day explain that false doctrine. And didn't get anywhere. We didn't gain a thing. And I guess we was just really foolish to listen or to even let him take up our time like that from his lips. One preacher sister, highly honored, she sanctioned him the whole time, the hours that we spent there. And then Brother Barton said, now whoever that's agreed with him needs to stay out of the pulpit. Brother Barton was managing the camp meeting then. And at that time I was coming home from Louisiana when I lived there, going to visit, having my yearly visit with my parents, just a mile from there, and being in meeting, and I was just kind of tore apart. My folks wanted more attention, and I felt conscientious because I wasn't in the meeting, and so I'd try to divide my time between the meeting and between visiting kin folks. Made an awful strain, the very next afternoon, I went back on the campground, and here is this woman up preaching loud and strong. And I didn't understand it. I mentioned it. Brother Barton said I almost called her down. Now what about it? He had said they weren't to get in the pulpit, but yet she dared. After sanctioning that false doctrine, she dared to get in the pulpit. Oh, God help us. The lips of the righteous feed many. We need to be living righteous and put out some good food. Our prayers need to be good prayers, good, clean. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that hath clean hands that's not lifted up his soul into vanity. Out of a pure heart out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. We need to be able to be living righteous so we can feed somebody. I told this little story at different places about there was an elderly lady that sold flowers. And she sat in the little alcove of a building in a town with her little flowers for sale. And she was always smiling. So a lady came along she said, you must not ever have any trouble. And the elderly lady looked at her and said, why, someone that's lived as long as I have, of course I've had trouble. And she said, well, what did you do about it? She said, I wait 3 days when I have trouble. I wait 3 days. You wait 3 days. Now, this is out of her lips, feeding somebody with something wise to say, you know. She said, I wait 3 days. Well, I don't understand that, the younger woman said. And she said, well, at the crucifixion, that was the darkest time of all the whole time throughout the world. But she said, what happened in 3 days? Said, when you're in trouble, you wait 3 days. See what happens. All the sun can shine, and Jesus arose. The grave couldn't even hold him. He came forth. They said, make it as sure as you can. And they put that big rock, so big. The women said, who's going to roll away the stone? Their demand was, make it as sure as you can. And they rolled this big stone to the mouth of the sepulcher. They said, this deceiver has said that he's going to rise again. And it may be that his disciples will come and steal him away and then say he arose. And so they made it just as sure as they could. And then the women came there on that morning and they wondered, who's going to roll away the stone? Who's going to help us out? And when they went there, they looked into an empty tomb. Then one appeared and they thought it was the gardener, and they said, well, if you have borne him, we've come to anoint him. If you have borne him hence, tell us where he is so we can go where he is and anoint him. And then they had to find out he's not here. He's risen. There lay the grave clothes, but no Jesus. Wait 3 days. Now that was good instruction from the lips. Just a little child can encourage you, or you can encourage a little child. And don't leave the children out. You know, we were once all little helpless babies. And use your lips to encourage the little child. I recall an experience. One time I was in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Was there quite a lot with Sister Leona Green and her family. One time I was having lots of home trouble, I had cried and cried and cried, and my eyes were red. Priscilla Green, that was killed at 15 in this car wreck. They were racing, and then she got the lick that she never gained consciousness. She was a child at home, and she came in from school. And she came to me, she just threw her arms around me, And she said, "You're pretty." Said, "Anybody would think you was pretty." Well, I didn't look very pretty. I cried till my face was disfigured, you know, from it. But that was encouragement from her lips. All the memories of the children how the Lord wants us to comfort the little children. One time she came to me her dolls, I think both legs and maybe one arm was off. She came to me and said, "Sister Ruth, will you fix my dolly?" I didn't have time for something like that, one would say. I was a preacher. I said, "Yes, I'll try to fix your dolly." I did the best I could and brought comfort. I'm glad that I did. Thank God. The lips of the righteous feed many. One time, may God help us. One brother, old brother Susag, said that one time he went with another minister that minister said to him as a young minister, he said, "We're going tonight where the saints are well to do." And he thought that would be wonderful. He didn't have money to get his ticket home. They were to leave the next morning. They go to this place they have service that night. The next morning, the other preacher had money to get home on, but he didn't. And they went down to the depot, and he said, he stood there, he didn't know what to do, and he said a man came up, and he just put money, just about threw it with force into his hands. And the man went on his way. He never had seen him before or since. And he went in, got his ticket, and went home. But he learned that it didn't mean all that much financially to go where the saints were well to do. God help us now. We'll be able to feed people. And so he went home and he told his wife about the experience. She said, "Papa, are you sure it wasn't an angel?" And he said, "Mother, if you'd have been there, you'd have thought it was. And maybe it was. Nothing impossible with God." Using our lips to feed many. The world. Now this scripture in Revelation. The righteous and those that have washed their robes and made them white in the Lamb, they're not going to hunger anymore. But the Lamb's going to feed them. That's a wonderful experience. And then to dwell in the land of Beulah have an abundance. Jesus said, "If ye eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you just have life in you, you drink of this water that I give you, and you'll never thirst again." He didn't mean just this natural body, but spiritually, the world is starving to be fed. They're starving for just a little attention. I heard of these two old ladies. One of them got to going to auction sales, the auctioneer called her honey, she went back home, and it made her so happy. Of course, that was just auctioneer talk, and they know how to talk. They talk so fast you can't even understand them hardly at all. She went back and she told her old lady friend, the auctioneer called her honey. She says, "I'll go with you next time." So they went next time, and these old ladies would just buy something they didn't even need because the auctioneer called him honey. Old people are starving, absolutely starving for just a few words, just a little song. The lips of the righteous. We have something good to offer. That old conversation of the world, it's so ungodly, and people live out their lives in an old, lustful, lascivious way many times. They get old and gray-haired, and then in their mind, they still have these old vile, vulgar things implanted in their minds. Some are not fit to be around little children even. You can't trust the little children with them. And people used to say, "I had to protect your little girls." I tell you, you better protect your little boys and your good-sized boys also in this awful, ungodly day that we're living in. You better be careful. And some people have just wasted their life away in sin, indulged in vulgar jokes, and it says unto the pure all things are pure, but unto the unholy there's just nothing pure. Everything's impure with them. They've taken the very purest that God meant and defiled it, defiled even the blood of Jesus Christ. They have a byword, have bywords about the blood, some people live out their life in such disgrace, evil thoughts, and then in old age, blaspheming God. There's something better. The righteous have something to offer. They tell me when Brother Oscar Williamson's days they men in the town respected him so highly that many times they would come to him for counsel, for some information about business deals. The lips of the righteous feed many. How interested are you in souls? Do you have souls at heart all the time? Are you concerned about even that wicked one? God help us. Maybe you can say something. I believe we need to be interested in the strangers that come among us. Many times their first impression, they go away, never to return among us because maybe nobody said anything to them. You ought to speak to the strangers. You ought to welcome them. You ought to, I said over at Green Bank, I noticed so much of the time our visitors are clear at the end of the line in going to the dining hall. That had not to be. They have manners enough to not want to just rush right on. They're not as acquainted with things as we are, and everybody just free and can do and know how to get around. Ought to pay some attention to the strangers. Ought to pay some attention to that wayward one. Maybe they need a little encouragement. The lips of the righteous. Are your lips righteous? Are your lips consecrated? The one that wrote, "Take my life and let it be." What did it say? "Take my lips and let them move at the impulse of thy love, do something with my lips. The lips of the righteous feed many. Blessed are the peacemakers. Some people like a dog fight. They just love it. Sick 'em up. And they just get something in them about that. Oh, they just love it. And some people just love to stir up trouble. But that isn't the righteous way of doing things. Blessed are the peacemakers. You better be careful. Let's take this as ministers. What you tell people, tell them the truth. And open rebuke is better than secret love. You better stand by what you preach in the pulpit. If it is your own folks and you just love them so much that maybe God just loves them enough to make some kind of a way. He's not going to change His Bible for any one of us or any of our kinfolks. We're going to have to face it just as it is. The lips of the righteous. May God help us. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. And then He said, feed my lambs. The Word says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. There's a difference in feeding lambs and feeding sheep. They have this starter. You start your calves on something, don't you? Different. And then after a while, they need some grain. You start the babies on the formula. A difference. I have seen where people got saved, and then somebody, that was overzealous, they just tried to stuff them with the Word of God. May God help us. And maybe it choked them to death, spiritually speaking. The lips of the righteous feed many. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed them till they grow into being sheep. Feed them. They need to be fed. People are hungry nowadays for the Word of God. Look what false teachers are offering to the world. Look how they're deceiving people. Look how they're in for it, filthy for filthy lucre's sake. May God help us that we live righteous. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then you go forth. They may make fun of you. Some of the girls, they have that, 89ers day in Guthrie, and some years ago I heard about some of the girls, and then people dress up in old-fashioned clothes, celebrate. Some of the same girls walking up the street, somebody said 89ers. It wasn't 89ers day. They thought they looked like 89ers. We'll look like 89ers to people. But when they get in trouble, you see what they do. Sister Carrie Shepherd has always been the dumb one in the family, or folks counted her that way, and they said grandmother was a fanatic and we had to put up with her, so we just have to put up with Carrie. I'm sure she overdid it in trying to help her folks to see the truth, but what did they do when they got in trouble? Her brother-in-law was second highest man over Louisiana highways. But he got down sick and in trouble. Who did they call for? One, Carrie.
Yes. When folks get in trouble, if you live righteous, if you've lived a careful life, they're liable to call on you. I remember when we prayed for boys that were in service, the neighbors' boys, oh, pray for my boy that will get back home. Many a boy came back just in answer to prayer. When they got back, they made all kind of promises and vows that they'd live for God. When they got back, they went right on back into their worldliness and way of living, and meet you on the street, and maybe wouldn't even speak to you. Somebody that you knew, and maybe you prayed for them to come home, and they did come home. When people get in trouble, they want somebody righteous. I heard of this woman that lived for God. She walked through the town. She prayed for the, and she went to her services. And she prayed for the townspeople. Lord, have mercy on them. After a while, her life's work was ended, and she died, the town people mourned. They said, "Who will pray for us now?" A righteous woman. Some towns, you may be the only righteous person there. The world is so wholly given over to sin. Brother Charles Smith told me when he went back up here in Missouri to preach Sister Whitmore's funeral, he said as soon as he started preaching, the people began crying, and they cried through the service. A godly woman. I heard of, they said her husband had declared bankruptcy, and she had little to do with, but she skimped and saved, and she did a lot of fasting, she paid and she paid and she paid back in her little widow's mite, the best she could, until she said the Lord spoke to her and said, "That's enough." If you live righteous in your town, somebody's going to take notice of it. The lips of the righteous feed many. Have something comforting. We're just so used to our customs. I heard of somebody went over in a foreign field. And over here, we just remark about the weather. All the time, good. We need some rain. It's awful hot and awful cold. I'd like to have some summer weather. And then summer weather comes. Oh, it's so hot, I'll be glad when winter comes. And people aren't satisfied. And we have a habit of just remarking about the weather. They said some fellow went over in a foreign country, and so he tried to talk to the natives, and he approached one, and they said, he said, "A little cloudy today, may get rain, mightn't we?" And the fellow just looked at him like he didn't know what he meant. He went on to another, and he was trying to make friends and make conversation, and made another remark about the weather, finally he went and said something to another one, and that one looked up, and he said, "Well, I guess he knows his business." That was pretty wise. Guess God knew his business. It wasn't a habit over there, you know, just to always be talking about the weather. God does know his business. And he knows how to deal with us. And he knows our going out and our coming in. And he knows about our blunders and our mistakes. But I want to tell you, if you'll keep souls in mind and then endeavor to be a source of comfort and strength, but tell people the truth, feed them with the truth of God's Word. Feed my sheep. Feed the church of God. He's purchased it with His own blood at a great price. Now we're to feed it. How are we feeding it? Are we being careless about feeding it? Feeding the church with our lips? Are we being true to souls? Are we being able, going to meet souls in the judgment? You told me thus and so. May God help us. And that we'll show no respect of persons. Nothing is any plainer in the Scripture than that is. And yet, I see it. Respect of persons right among us. It shouldn't be. It's against the Word of God. And we're all alike. In the sight of God, He expects of us, according to the light that we have, according to His dealings with us and our comprehension, He looks on the heart. May God help us. Nowadays, I don't know if my days are, I know that I'm nearer the closing than I was back there when I started in 1931. Since I can't do so much of that, just feeding people all those big dinners that just make you stuffed and then you still want people to eat more because you're so glad they're there. Now, since life has turned around for me, oh God, help us. I want to be able, since God gave me this scripture, this has really been a source of comfort and help to me, that I can feed somebody with my lips. Don't have all that energy I used to have. I'd stay up about all night if necessary to try to get things all ready to feed somebody or feed a group of people. But now I feel like the Lord woke me up and gave me this to give to you. And I hope it reached the very seat of your affections. I hope it got right down there to where you live, and in your soul, I really hope that you felt fed, that you felt like you had a meal, that's nutritious and full of vitamins, and that will help us on toward heaven. Sometimes, just a little word, just a little a telephone call. Oh, God, help us. I was sick, and hardly anyone even coming to see about me. And here I get a telephone call from Sister Clark in California. She was right good and ready to come and take care of me. And there she was, past 80 years old, older than I, and I was on my feet, and I didn't need her. I told her that I didn't need her. There she was, ready. That was real touching to my soul. God help us today. I hope you'll take this home with you. And anyway, I'm still this is nourishment to my soul, and I want to take full benefit of it, and I want to take my part of it, and I hope that you got some good out of it too. The lips of the righteous feed many. What do we have to tell others? What do we have to offer others in the way of food? Feed the church of God. Feed my lambs. Do you have food that'll do for lambs? And do you have a supply of and food that'll do for sheep, grown-up sheep? And then the babies needs a lot of, we need a lot of, well, just well, that it's not good to have the same thing every day and every day. Some people's troubles are just hashed over and have it for dinner and for supper and before the children. Just trouble, trouble, trouble they talk about. But thank God, God is still on His throne. Things are getting so critical that sometimes I wonder about a lot of things. But I'm glad the government is upon His shoulders. Thank God. And if I live righteous, I'm going to be able surely, surely to help somebody. I'll feed them with my lips. And I'll try to encourage them and try to warn them and try to tell them they need to pay a full price to have the favor of God. Don't dabble around and I think I can do this and that and just still be numbered with the saints. You may be numbered with the saints, God can reject you, will reject you, if you don't live righteous. Saul was still acting as king after God had rejected him. And Samuel didn't want to give him up. Samuel just loved him and he just clung to him. And God had to just get right after Samuel and said, I've rejected him. It's time for you to wake up. And God's not going to just invite people because they're who they are to just live in sin and fail to live righteous and feed people in the proper way. God's not going to accept that. From you are me. Or if Brother Salmon's backslides, I'm not going to have him just as Brother Salmon's because he's preached so wonderful. You need to be just numbered with the folks you are with. And none of us have gotten so righteous that we can't fail God. Any one of us can go down. We've seen that among us, putting a preacher up on a pedestal and just about worshiping her or him. I've seen it both ways. And then they went down. We are subject to falling. God help us to live righteous.